Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Thursday, October the 13th. And I hope you're enjoying a good day in the Lord, being blessed of the Lord. Today happens to be the birthday of Brother Robert Dockery, a young man that's a member here at the Island Ford Baptist Church. We appreciate him. He's our sound man. And we appreciate him and his family and the blessing that he's been. I hope he has a great birthday today and a happy birthday as well. Well, let me thank the Lord for the good service we had last night. We had good liberty here in the house of God, and I felt like the Lord used the message. I had a number of people come by and say that they got some help and were encouraged or instructed in the Scriptures, and I'm glad for that. Give God glory and honor for that. Amen. And look forward to seeing what the Lord's going to do in the days ahead. I want you to pray for us and pray with us about today's broadcast, that the Lord might use it to bring Him glory and honor as He desires and surely as He deserves. Amen. Also, I'd like to mention some things by way of special request. Of course, upcoming meetings, some meetings going on this week. I know three camp meetings going on this week. One right here in the lovely city of Madisonville, Kentucky, over at Grace Baptist Church. They're having camp meeting, actually started up last night, going through today all day, and I had intended on being by there this morning, and because of situations with hospitals and people there, I had to make some runs with that and didn't make it by there, and so I'll mention more about that in a moment. But we're looking forward to being there, Lord willing, tonight at Grace Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and they're going through tomorrow. I have all-day service tomorrow as well, or morning and then night service. Rochester's planning to be there tonight as well as all day tomorrow, and we'll pray they'll have a great camp meeting, and the Lord bless and help in that. And then also, camp meeting over in Hodgensville, Kentucky, and Brother Hanley Milby is the moderator there, and Brother Bird, I forgot his first name, maybe James Bird, I think. Anyway, Brother Bird is the pastor, and we were there at New Freedom Baptist Camp Meeting, New Freedom Baptist Church. We were there in that meeting on Tuesday night and then on Wednesday, and had a good time there. Thank the Lord for it. Heard some good preaching, good singing, had good fellowship, just a great time in the Lord, and I thank the Lord for it. Amen. So pray for that camp meeting going through tomorrow as well. And then camp meeting going on over in Maryland, and Brother, it's River City Baptist Church. Brother Willie Walton is the pastor there. I've never been there. I met Brother Walton. He's been here. I met him here in years gone by when Brother Hall was the pastor, and then I met him in Virginia and also in Maryland at other churches I've been in, other meetings. But Brother Walton's having a meeting this week. I want to pray for them and pray that God bless and help there and have His way in those things. All right. Also, some prayer requests for health and needs that we know of right here. Brother Hall is in the hospital. They put him in. Went on Tuesday afternoon and started having some chest pains and problems there. And so they took him to the ER and then later admitted him into the hospital, ruled out heart attack because of some of the tests they ran, but decided then that they were going to need to run a CAT scan, CT scan, and then an electrocardiogram or echocardiogram, and they didn't get that run yesterday, so they're going to do that today. Kept him last night, going to do that today, and then a nuclear stress test going to do today. And I called by there earlier, and he was down for those tests, and so I haven't gotten to talk to him personally. I talked to Mrs. Hall. She said he was doing fairly well, rested good last night for the portion that he did get to rest, and grateful for that. But keep Brother Hall in your prayers. The Lord might strengthen and help him. They may keep him again tonight, depending on what time that the doctors get to look at the test results and what they find. But he seems to be doing much better. So keep him in your prayers that they'll be able to find and diagnose what the need is. And then also Sister Bell, Brother Hall's daughter, Brother Doug Bell's wife, Miss Lisa Bell, had some tests run today as well. She was staying there with him at the hospital and then went on down to have her test there. And last I knew, she was still there as well. We want to keep her in our prayers that the Lord would intervene and help there. Then Brother Cater Dockery in the hospital over at Owensboro, and want you to keep him in prayer if you will. Brother Cater, of course, diagnosed with cancer about 7 weeks ago today, I believe. and somewhere back in there. And Brother Cater happens to be the father of Brother Robert Dockery. And so he's Brother Dockery's dad. And I want to remember Brother Cater. Brother Cater's a good man here in the church, and been a faithful man. And earlier this week, his spine was so eaten up, I guess, really with the cancer, that his spine broke, and it's in his spinal column. He's paralyzed and got a lot of problems there. And we're asking just to pray for him, a lot of pain, and he really needs our prayers. So we've been trying to spend some time with him, and family members, of course, doing that as well. I want you to hold Brother Cater up in your prayers. Ask God to do a miracle and raise him up and to help him according to his will. And then if it's, you know, every one of us, I said this yesterday, I think, that sometime or another, this old body is going to go back to the dust. It's going to. That's just a fact of life, a fact of nature, that it is going to go back to dust one of these days. But until that time, of course, we want God to use us and to help us to be healthy. And so pray for Brother Cater along those lines, that God would just have his way, his time, and his will be done in these things. All right, so if you will, help us pray about these. And then I know of a young lady that is a pastor's daughter. Her granddad was a pastor. He's not pastoring any longer. But this young lady, just a teenager, late teenager, and just found out recently, just moved out from her mom and dad's home. And, of course, out of their will, out of their permission and blessing, and she just, like the prodigal, just decided she wanted out, and so she moved out. I want to pray for this young lady. I'm not going to call her name over the radio, but the Lord knows who she is and where she's at and how to get a hold of her and bring her back. So I want to remember this young lady in our prayers, and then another young lady that we know of, situation, we're praying that God work there and believe that he is working, and ask you just to pray for intervention on those things as well. So if you will, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you will, pray with us. Ask the Lord to meet these special needs right here at this time. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for your goodness, grace, and mercy so abundantly bestowed upon us. Such showers of blessing, Lord, we thank you for it. Lord, I ask you that you might touch down, help these special needs. Lord, touch Brother Hall and raise him up, Lord, I pray. Help him to be able to find and rightly diagnose what they find. Father, I pray for Mrs. Bell as well. Help him to find and rightly diagnose what they find, and her to be able to get the help, and him to be able to get the help that they need. And Lord, that you to help him to be able to go home from the hospital and things be well. I pray for Brother Cater and that special need there with his back and the pain. Lord, with the cancer as well. Would you intervene and help there, dear Lord? I pray you'd help Miss Ann and Brother Robert. Lord, I pray that you'd help Colleen and Zonia. Lord, I pray for the grandchildren that you'd work and help them, Lord, and meet their needs as well. Father, that you'd just strengthen and bless and have your way in these special needs. I pray for that young lady that just ran away. They're not technically saying she ran away, she moved away, but it was a runaway situation. I pray, Father, that you'd help that young lady to come to God, to come to herself, recognize how good she had it at the Father's house, both physically and spiritually, and that she'd get right with her mama and her daddy, get right with her God, get right with her church. Lord, I pray rescue her before she wrecks her purity, before she wrecks her testimony, before she desecrates the name of God, the name of her dad and granddad that's a preacher. Lord, I pray that you would turn that young lady before she wrecks her life. And Lord, I pray do that great work that needs to be done. I pray, Lord, for this other young lady we're praying for. You know the situation and the circumstance. I pray, oh God, that you'd intervene and bless and help. And then a special unspoken need that you know about. Father, I pray that you'd work in that. We've got loved ones we're praying for to be saved. People we're calling by name every day to see them saved by the grace of God. Lord, I pray today be no different, that you'd deal with their heart, as I've prayed a number of times. Deal with their heart. Bring them to themselves. Bring them, dear God, to the place they recognize their great need of a Savior. They'd quit kicking and fussing and fighting with God. They'd surrender and be saved by the good grace of God. Lord, I pray work in this, and you get the glory. Lord, I pray help in these other needs that we know about. Help, dear Lord, in these camp meetings going on. I pray you'd move and we'd see souls saved, saints stirred, revival come. Lord, help our nation. How sad things are in our nation. Lord, would you turn our nation back to thee? Help us, Lord, recognize we don't just need somebody else in the White House. We need God on the throne where he deserves to be. Father, I pray turn our nation and you get the glory. Bless our broadcast now. Use it for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' lovely and precious name. Amen and amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us, and we're going to get ready to look into the scriptures. We're looking today, as we normally do, in Luke chapter number 11 and verse number 1. That's Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. And then our secondary Bible reading will be found in Mark chapter number 11 as well. I'm in John chapter 4 and verse number 35. John chapter 4 and verse number 35. And we'll have our Bible reading. Then we'll be back with a message from the Word of God. Our Bible reading for today, Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." And we're using this verse as our starting point for this series of messages, thinking about the fact that our Lord is teaching us to pray, teaching his disciples to pray. And the way he teaches us is through the scriptures. So our scripture for today that has our lesson for today is found in John chapter 4, verse number 35. The Bible says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." So our Lord here is speaking about prayer concerning the harvest. I don't think he's talking about harvesting wheat or harvesting corn or potatoes or green beans or anything. No, he's talking about harvesting souls. He's talking about the fact that we're interested in souls being saved, the work of God being done, the kingdom of God being increased. Those are the things he's speaking about. And so he says, as you're thinking about these, and my lesson for today, as you're praying about these, I underline these words, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. I'm going to call this the map of prayer. The map. And the idea is as if we have spread a map in front of us and we're praying over that map, praying for God's work, specifically mission work to be done for the gospel's sake. I mentioned yesterday that our Lord gave us the great command. We can find that in Matthew chapter number 28, also in Mark chapter number 16. In Mark 16:15, it says it this way, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, if we cannot go in person, we can at least go in prayer. Amen. And we know missionaries, most of you that are listening, you know of men and women and boys and girls that are on the mission field, that mission families, that the man has been called of God to carry the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth, and he surrendered. He's willing to go, and they've gone, and the family's gone with them. I'm telling you, they deserve our prayer. And so I talked about the idea of using an atlas or a map and lifting up our eyes, looking, prayerfully looking on the fields of missionary endeavor. And I called that first point that I dealt with yesterday the look that grasps the situation. I talked about seeing the geographical factor and the personal factor. Now today, I want to go one step further and say not only the look that grasps the situation, but the look that grapples with the difficulty. You see, when we see things, our eye affects our heart. What the Bible says, I believe it's Jeremiah, said, "Mine eye affecteth my heart." When we see things, it may cause our heart to weep. Our eyes weep as well, but it causes us to have feelings. It causes us to have emotions. And you and I know that there are difficulties, many difficulties abounding on fields of mission service. When we look at them prayerfully, then we can focus. I want to think of three particular ways. We think about the personality of the missionary. You see, the missionary is just as much a human being as you and I are. Amen. He's just as much a human being as any of us. Sometimes he may feel like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. Amen. Sometimes he may feel like he doesn't fit in because the mission field's not his normal home. There on the mission field, that person has to endure the strain of heat and cold, perhaps flies and mosquitoes and other pests and vermin and such as that, maybe even wild creatures, perhaps unfriendly, and perhaps even in a heathen atmosphere. It'd be no wonder that missionaries feel lonely and depressed and sometimes impatient. all these things we could notice and pray about when we look at our map and think of the world and those we know around the world in need. There's a great song that talks about somewhere, talking about miles, across the miles, that's the name of the song. There's somebody praying for you. Amen. I'm telling you, the missionaries ought to know, and even if they don't know physically, that when they get to heaven, there ought to be a record that you and I have been praying for them. Amen. So think about the personality of the missionary, then the personality of the native, the person they're going to try to witness to and minister to. Here's the missionary surrounded by foreigners, many of those antagonistic to his foreign gospel, the message he's bringing. In most fields, the message of Jesus Christ for salvation is a foreign message, a message that includes no works, a message that includes no idols, a message that includes wearing clothes, a message that includes not drinking and not shacking up and not living like an animal. It's a strange message to many of them. And so this missionary is going to come in with these foreigners, but with a foreign mission or a foreign message. And sometimes misunderstandings arise. Sometimes conflicts and clashes of culture might come about. These, friend, are some of the things you and I might think about when we look on the fields as we pray over our map. And then number three, not only the personality of the missionary, the personality of the native, what about the personality of the enemy? You see, we've got a wicked, vile enemy. You think about the subtle and antagonistic enemy that we face. Amen. That can be seen nowhere more greatly than in those strongholds on foreign mission fields, places where the gospel has been before but has been rejected. I remember my dad said this years ago, and I think he's definitely right. My dad said, he said, the darkest places on earth are not those who have never heard the gospel, but they're those places that have heard the gospel, didn't heed the gospel. They rejected it, and now they're in an even more greater, dangerous darkness. Amen. But can I tell you that when we spread our mount before us, we get on our knees and call on God, we can do battle with the forces of Satan. We can do battle. We can enter into that battlefield, even there on that mission field, and hold up the missionary and hedge in the missionary. Hallelujah. Amen. And gain ground for that missionary gospel, that souls might be saved, that people might be delivered from the demonic strongholds and the powers that be in those places. I'm telling you, friend, that prayer is a great weapon. I believe the power of prayer not only can cure cancer. I believe the power of prayer not only can cure broken limbs or disabled bodies and broken bodies. I'm glad that the power of prayer can bind that strong man, that devil, that the Lord might be able to rescue people that have been held captive and held hostage by the devil, that the good news of the gospel might shine through. Hallelujah. I believe that prayer can hold back the devil, that God might send in the light. Amen. And the work of God might be done. We have a great weapon against the enemy of our souls. We have the great weapon against that enemy of the missionary and the enemy of the gospel. Friend, I want to tell you, God, help us to be faithful, to get on our knees and to call on our God and to beg God to hedge in our missionaries, to keep them healthy, to keep them happy, but most of all to keep them holy, that they might be used of the Lord, that they might have a bright and shining light, that the message might go forth, that God might open a door, an effectual door might be open for them, and that they might have utterance to preach and utterance to tell, and that others might see their life and recognize the difference and be changed by that gospel power. Amen. Friend, you and I can help the missionary more than we know. And it's more than dollars and cents if we'll just spend our time really praying for the missionary. Thank you for listening.